Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is the John Oakley Show podcast.
Although I'm hearing from the Ontario Dental Association that they're not exactly encouraged by some of the things that have come out in the fall economic statement, insofar as the government may be leaving them short when it comes to meeting expenses for dental care for the vulnerable seniors and other such people, folks with disabilities and that. To that end, Dr. Kim Hansen has joined us on the line, the president of the Ontario Dental Association, to explain exactly what their concerns or considerations are. Dr. Hansen, good to have you on the Oakley Show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. Now, I'm reading this letter, I guess, that you sent out to Minister Phillips, the Minister of the Finance Minister, here, and you're talking about how the cost to cover the dental care is only reimbursed by approximately 42% of the Ontario Dental Association's suggested fee guide, and that means Ontario's dentists subsidize the government's programs by approximately $150 million each year. Are you saying that these programs are executed on the backs of dentists to a large measure?
That's exactly it. These programs, they haven't been adequately funded for over a decade now, and the gap continues to grow each year, both for general dentists and specialists. And, you know, that in the end affects the patient. So, you know, if going on your point there, if you were to look at a dollar of you know, what it costs to deliver service, the government's, remunerating anywhere from 38 to 42 cents. And for the specialists, that's even less. So Ontario dentists have been picking up that 30 cents on each dollar delivering care to these vulnerable people, as you mentioned. They're anywhere from kids to seniors. And, you know, it's reaching a breaking point within the profession, and it's going to get harder and harder to gain access for these patients to dental care.
So the suggested fee guide from the Ontario Dental Association, how was that arrived at, by the way? Who sets the fees?
There are a whole lot of factors that go into setting a fee that the government has accepted as they like that model that we have to set up those fees. So there are a whole bunch of different factors that go into, it's quite complicated, probably more complicated. That's a whole other issue to deal with here. But there is a fee guide or a fee established for everything we do. And what we're looking for is not the full fee. We're looking to cover the costs. So if an average dental office, you know, is 70 to 75% overhead, we as an association are looking for the government to just cover the cost to deliver care to these vulnerable people. We're not looking to make gains, but just cover the costs.
Right. And we're talking about, for example, you say children from low-income families through the Healthy Smiles Ontario program, or adults through the Ontario Disability Support Program and Ontario Works, and patients requiring emergency and complex services in hospitals covered by OHIP. All of these programs, would dentists have the ability to opt out of these programs?
You're over 7,000 dentists in Ontario treat patients on all those programs that you mentioned, but it's harder and harder to get appointments if they require specialty programs. So, you know, the government's introducing, you know, quietly introduced this low-income seniors program. And, you know, I opened up right when my presidency started to offer, you know, the open door policy to help them through the program, and so that those monies could go to treat patients, not be put into, you know, building dental, you know, units in different areas. And when they restricted the number of health units from 35 to 10, they really restricted access to a certain group of, you know, for low income, you could have seniors with severe medical problems that, you know, or mobility problems that can't access the care. And they would leave you know, an office that they're maybe already having treatment and feel comfortable with. And the office knows their medical and dental history, and for them to move elsewhere into an area where, you know, everybody's new, that's just a whole bunch of stress on them. And then just getting them to, you know, to those offices or new areas where they'd be treated is certainly an obstacle.
Yeah, so what you're saying is a lot of these patients may be falling through the cracks. Again, with Dr. Kim Hansen, president of the Ontario Dental Association, and the complaint from the dentists is that the government's not stepping up and funding properly, so this funding gap has to be borne by the dentists themselves. Which, by the way, it's interesting. There seems now to be more of a priority, or at least a focus placed on dental care, because it tends to lead to all kinds of health outcomes. And so preemptive care is cited as perhaps being a more efficient use of health dollars. I'm sure you would agree with that. Would you
totally,
also?
Totally.
Yeah. Would you support a national dental program that was proffered, I guess, the NDP primarily during their most recent election campaign? Does that make sense to you?
I mean, anytime dentistry gets spoken about at, you know, within at the government level for programs, we're always, that's always exciting for us to hear. It's how they're going to deliver it, what they're going to cover, and what remuneration. So right now, private you know, insurance plans, they take care of over 60% of the population. So, and there are other you know, small businesses that offer, you know, funds to cover dental treatment. So I don't think, you know, we're there yet, and I don't think there's a real need. I totally agree. There are, you know, the vulnerable in the group, and they tend to seek out, you know, like the hospital. And over $38 million a year is spent on visits to the hospital for antibiotics and painkillers that just kind of, you know, just cover up the problem until the infection reoccurs, and then they're back. So, you know, I see that in my office, you know, a lot, where people will seek out, who don't have a dentist or can't afford to go to a dentist, will go to the hospital to seek out care. And in the end, if the government were to adequately fund their programs and reduce that gap, more of these people could be seen in our offices and therefore save the healthcare system a lot of money.
Yeah, so you're asking the government to come up with a scratch or pivot with some of their healthcare dollars. Understood. And it's interesting, because a lot of doctors feel some ways they're placed in a straitjacket through OHIP. They'd rather have your setup where you can be, you know, a private enterprise. We'll leave it at that. Suggested that the fee guide, well, I guess where you've got this suggested fee guide, Ontario dentists are now subsidizing a lot of the care, and the government ought to step up to the plate and bail you out on that front. I appreciate you coming on and voicing your concerns, Dr. Hansen.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
We'll see where this one goes. Dr. Kim Hansen, again, is the president of the Ontario Dental Association.
Thanks for listening to the John Oakley Show podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your on-demand audio.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment, going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains, made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.